2 hours. So just relax, take it easy, and everybody all relaxed? Huh? Ready? Good. All right. Now, I'm going to ask that you do not have any of the kids go in or out during the meeting, because I may be able to cut it short and do a lot faster and so forth, but if I could lose my train of thought because the kids go in and out, why, then I'm going to shoot them or something. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the church bus ministry. The church bus ministry. Now, I'm going to tap on a lot of things tonight, so just hold on to everything. But the church bus ministry. I saw in our Christian bookstore we owned the other day a little book called Pastoring the Smaller Church. And there's nothing wrong with a small church for a while. If you get your mind on Mercedes-Benz and also on Chanel Embassies all the time, you can't do that. You've got to get down on the ball, right?
Amen.
Right, amen. And by the way, I really appreciate this church. I appreciate also going to Wiesbaden and to wherever else I've been and all of that. But anyway, I appreciate each one of the churches. But I tell you, you service folks have got a tremendous opportunity, and I just think great potential for church. Really, just great potential for church. And I'm looking in the faces of some that got saved just this last couple of weeks, and they're sitting right here tonight, and you're going to go on and do something for the Lord, and I'm just excited and ecstatic about it. Now, let me just say this. For a long time, I had it in my mind that you couldn't be a fundamentalist. You just couldn't go ahead and do something for God unless you had a small church. I mean, it couldn't be big. It had to be small. And I think what are you doing back there? By the way, I kept doing the holy dance up here, and I'll kick you if you're not careful. Now, nevertheless, my life verse for a long time was, fear not, little flock. I thought you just couldn't do it unless you had just a small church. And if you ever got to 100, boy, that was just out of this world. You couldn't do that. Then I began to study the Bible, and I found out some strange things. First of all, that Jesus Christ preached to thousands of people, not hundreds, not even tens, but thousands. That Paul the Apostle spoke to thousands of people. That Peter preached to thousands of folks. And on one occasion, 3,000 that heard him believed his word and got saved. Now that means that there's something to having some quantity and some numbers to hear the gospel. And let me just put it this way to you to start with. About the bus ministry, about everything else in this church, you want to remember this. And that is that the more people you expose to the gospel, the more people have a possibility of getting saved and converted to Christ. And that's the important thing. Now, when I say converted to Christ, I'm talking about that we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We get born again and get the matter settled about Christ in our heart. Yesterday, Brother Fuller and I were in Switzerland. And there in Switzerland, we stopped in a little store. It was one of those things that had everything. You know, I mean just everything. Hanging from the ceiling, underneath the counters, everywhere. And it was just super. Boy, they had everything. And two little old ladies ran that store. And one little old lady was gone. We talked to the other one. The other one was there. We were getting some instructions about some things. And I began to talk to her. I said, well, where do you go to the church? And she said, I go to the Evangelist church. I go to the Protestant church over here. And so she was talking to us. And then I said, now, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? Do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? Oh, she said, no, no, no. She said, I don't know. And she said so many things now. She said, and she mentioned transcendental meditation. She mentioned, I don't know what all, other kind of things that we know about as different movements that are going on. And said, I just don't know what in the world. She said, I don't know what to believe anymore. I said, ha ha, I know what to believe. I said, I'll tell you what to believe. Hold on here. And I began to draw her a little picture. On the back, I said, now what is your name? She said, my name is Marie Louise. And she gave me her last name, but in such an accent, I couldn't. She's Swiss. And so I began to talk to her. She's probably 52 years old, 53, maybe 55 years old. And talked to her about Jesus and how that she was a sinner. And that all these sins she committed. I said, now have you sinned? Yes, yes, yes. And I said, now he's a bad sinner. And I got the whole thing done. I said, now one day God's going to draw a line. And when you die, you're going to have to go to hell and pay for your sins. Terrible. I said, that's bad news. I've got to give you the bad news first. But I said, now I want to give you good news. And I drew a picture of a cross. And I said, you've heard about Jesus dying. Oh, yes, yes. I said, he died and shed his blood on the cross for you. And I gave him the whole plan of salvation. And I said how God took all of our hell and put it on Jesus when it was on the cross. And he went to hell for us on the cross. I talked to her a little bit more. And I said, now, wouldn't you like to let Jesus come in your heart? And she, a little reluctant about it. Well, I don't know. I pray all the time. I believe in God. I said, well, Mary Louise, let me tell you this. I said, the devil also believes in God. You ever think of that? The devil also believes in God. He's not going to go to heaven. So believing in God isn't going to get you to heaven. It's got to go ahead and have something else. You've got to receive Christ as your Savior. That's what gets you to heaven. You receive Him, and I said He's going to mark paid all over your sin record. You let Him come in. Ask Him to save you. Tell Him you're a sinner. And let Him come in your heart. And right there in that little store, while she bowed her head and trusted the Lord, tears up in her eyes. And I went by, went down the street, and bought for her a German Bible. She could read German. Brought her German Bible. And the only Christian book I could find in that bookstore that even looked like it was a remotely fundamental was Peace with God by Billy Graham. And it's a good fundamental book as far as telling how to get saved. I don't go along with Billy Graham on everything at all. But it would tell her how to get saved. And so I bought that. And I had one other thing that was kind of like a Four Spiritual Laws kind of a tract in German. But that's all they had. They didn't have anything else. I thought, mine. What a terrible thing. They had all these books, and they had all kinds. But it was supposed to be an Evangelish Christian bookstore. And that's all it was, just nothing else. And so I came, gave that to her, and she cried. And she came on out in front of the store, and we got in the car, took off. She was out in front of the store, waving like this. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got to expose people to the gospel, or nobody's going to get saved. That's the whole business. Now, I want you to do something. Forget about the gripes about the bus ministry and the complaints you've heard and the preconceived ideas and all of that. And let's see what God is doing with a plan right now, what God can do for you with a plan. Now, I've got 11 points to my message, and I'm going to try to go just as quick as I possibly can. And they put me kind of on the program slow tonight. We're about 30 minutes late starting.
30 minutes late.
You shouldn't do that. All right. Okay. Now, but so I've got 11 points. The first point, before I give you the first point, is this. It's a word, Sibkis. S-I-B-K-I-S. S-I-B-K-I-S. I borrowed that word from Charlie Tremendous Jones, who's a million-dollar insurance salesman. The guy sold $1 million worth of insurance every year. Super salesman. And he said, this is what it is. Sibkis. S-I-B-K-I-S. That means see it big, keep it simple. See it big, keep it simple. Most of us see spiritual things as small, and then we complicate them with a bunch of committees. Now, but that isn't the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to see something big. And I want you to see the bus ministry as the biggest soul-winning tool you could have in this church. I mean, it'll win more souls per dollar spent, per hour invested, than anything else you could possibly do. What am I saying? I'm saying you could get on the radio station, you could get on television, you wouldn't win as many people as the bus ministry is going to win right here in this church and in your church and in other churches. Now, let's go to point number one. Results are for you. Results are for you. Now, I realize that some people say, well, Brother B.B., I'd sure like to get on the radio. I want to have that great unseen audience out there in radio land. Yeah, if I could just get on the radio, I know I could win hundreds. Oh, no. No, I've been on the radio for years. And I'll tell you what. Oh, once in a while, you'll go in a grocery store and somebody will say, they'll recognize your voice. They'll say, oh, aren't you on the radio? And with your best ministerial tones, you'll say,
yes, I am on the media.
And they'll say, don't you advertise Pepsi Cola? That hurts that balloon. Now, results are for you. Quickly, here's some letters that I've gotten back from people who've heard me give the same lecture I'm going to give you tonight. Some things happen to you. To them. Here's one, a church up 87 in 1 week. This was in Baytown, Texas. Here's one up 220 in 8 weeks in Anderson, South Carolina. Here's a fellow that came to me and meeting me and said, thank you for 200. I said, what do you mean? He said, 4 weeks ago we came to Indianapolis with our folks from Shelbyville Baptist Temple and said, we heard you give the bus lecture and said, we've gone up in 4 weeks, 200 in Sunday school. I said, you're welcome. And here's a church in Indiana. I won't say where it was because I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody in Kokomo. But anyway, it was a cold, dead Yankee church. I hate to say that. But anyway, it worked. It was cold. Next door, there was a mortuary. And for a long time, I thought they were connected. Those people wouldn't laugh. They wouldn't say amen. They wouldn't have given a holy grunt to see the Statue of Liberty do the shimmy. I mean, I said, they'll never get this. But here's a letter from the good pastor who said, thanks again, Wally, for helping us to see it big and keep it simple. We've gained 200 people in 6 weeks. Here's a church in Ugali, Florida, that's Cape area, up 237 in 5 weeks. Here's a church in Central Baptist in Ocala, Florida. Just thought you'd like to know of our bus increase since you're with us. We had another bus Sunday. They brought in 265 on four buses. Four buses. You got that, don't you? All right. The bus captains are using almost the letter of your advice. We find it works. Here's a church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, up 300 in 5 weeks. Here's a church in Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Stockbridge, Georgia. Now, that's out in the country. Pastor had been there for 9 years, and those days my bus lecture was 3 hours long. A little old lady came that night and said, I've never heard nobody speak for 3 hours on nothing. That night I could carry it away and preach for 4.5. Anyway, the pastor had gotten in 9 years to 300 in Sunday school. In 3 months, he got to 600 in Sunday school. The other day, Paul said, Brother Beebe, every Sunday, getting right at 900. 25 people saved every Sunday. God's blessing. New big Christian school. God's going.
and blessing us.
Here's one in Columbus, Georgia, up 200 in 2 months. Here's one in Berryville, Virginia, up 375 in 1 week. He said, Pastor, we had 56 saved the first Sunday after you were with us. Here's the church in Lakeland, Florida, up 200 in 2 weeks. Here's the church, Lavon Drive Baptist Church in Garland, Texas.
You heard of that church, haven't you?
All right. I wanted to share a little report with you that I believe you had a party in. We had a little over 400 on the buses on the Sunday before your lecture. We had 1,031 on the Sunday after your lecture, up 600 on the buses. Here's a church in Broadview, Illinois. Now, these folks were only about 15 miles over from us in Hammond, Indiana, where I was the bus director for Dr. Howe's associate pastor there. And we became the largest church in the world at that time, became the largest bus ministry in the world when I was there. But they didn't come the 15 miles over to find out what we were doing there in Hammond. Instead, they came all the way to Ohio, where I was giving the bus lecture in Ohio. And so they had five buses, and they were running 70 to 100 on five buses. And boy, they got all excited. They said, folks, we're going to go back and do something for the Lord. I said, amen. Good, do it. And so they went back and they opened up. They had a big kind of a contest for 5 weeks. They said, all right, brother, four weeks. They said, now we're going to have Mission Impossible, son. And the first Sunday of Mission Impossible, he got a membership card, a secret spy organization. Every kid that came. And the second Sunday, they gave out spy glasses, every kid that came. The third Sunday, they gave a secret agent disguise kit, every kid that came. The fourth Sunday, they gave out water pistols to every kid that came. If you met your goal that day, you got to squirt the captain and the driver. The goal on five buses that day was 250 on five buses. And on that five buses, they had 256.
There were some sprinkled Baptists in
there. They said, boy, this is great. And I don't know how it is over here in Germany, but over in Hammond, Indiana, in the summertime, attendance is up and down. And they're either up in the mountains or down the beach. One day. So anyway, this was summertime. They said, we're going to try this. This is great. We've had a great service. Let's go ahead and try it again. And so, the next Sunday, I mean, you'd think this was out in Texas. You'd think this was Texas. Any Texans here? Anybody from Texas here? Hey, there's some Texans. Boy, you can always tell Texans. Can't tell them much, but you can tell them. Anyway, they had the Roundup Sunday with the world's largest snow cone. It was 6 feet tall, weighed 400 pounds. It was 4 2x4s in the ground, a fake paper cone, and 400 pounds of shaved ice and gallons of that goop poured all over the top of that thing. And every kid that rode the bus to Sunday school that day got all the snow cones he wanted to eat off the world's largest snow cone, kids. There were 408 kids rode five buses to Sunday school, and a new record attendance in Sunday school, and of course, many of them were saved. And that's exactly what it's all about. That is all that it is about, is getting people saved. Well, you say, Brother Beebe, but we don't have, we only have about five,
I'm glad to use that.
Oh, the five buses? Great.
I was preaching down in Dallas, Texas, and
two fellows came from the Brook Hollow Baptist Church in DeSoto, Texas. Now, let me just grab your right chair. The Brook Hollow Baptist in DeSoto, that's a loser right there. They haven't made DeSotos in years. That's like an Edsel. All right, now, anyway, they said, okay, they said, Brother Beaver, we're going to do something for God. Had two bus routes, running 50 on two bus routes. They went home. I got a letter from them. They said, Brother Beebe said, the first year after we tried what you told us to do, said we averaged on five bus routes. Now, we don't count the drivers. We don't count the captains or any of the workers. But said on the five bus routes, we averaged the first year 304 per Sunday on five bus routes.
Boy, I said, that's great.
I read on in the letter, and they said, Brother Beebe, then in January of the next year, we wanted to have a new record attendance, and said, we're trying for 1,000 in Sunday school. We had 6 years old. The church was 6 years old. Trying for 1,000 in Sunday school. And so they were trying, and they didn't have it. They had 1,300 in Sunday school instead. And on bus routes, on five bus routes that day, they had 715 riders on five buses that day. 715 riders! Oh, I was preaching out in Oklahoma, and these five bus captains came, and they were gung-ho, boy. I designed some Hunter Club emblems for them, and they had the sports blazers on the Hunter Club. They were sitting right there. They were my amen corner. Boy, everything I said, amen, glory, woo! Wow. And then I got to the end of the conference, and they came up to me and said, "Brother B.B., said we've been running up to God. Said we're going to go back there and do something for God." I said, "Do it, do it, do it." I didn't tell them 715 wasn't bad on 5 buses, you know. So I was preaching out in Los Angeles, and the secretary, I was just walking out the door, had my briefcase in my hand, walking out the door. Secretary said, "Wait a minute, long distance call from Texas." I said, "Good, good. Hi, Steve, how you doing, buddy?" He said, "Great." He said, "You know, we went home from that conference, got all excited, said we started 4 more bus routes. We had 9 bus routes." I said, "Great. How many did you have last Sunday?" He said, "Now you understand it. It was a big day." He said, "But last Sunday on 9 bus routes, we had 1,438 riders, had 97 saved, and 48 of them got baptized." I said, "Woo! That's all right. Now, that's something else." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it can be done. And you can do it. You can do it right here. Now, you say, "Well, Brother B.B., we don't have a great big city like they do in Wiesbaden. We've just got a little tiny town."
I'm glad you mentioned that.
In 1969, I was called as the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Ruskin, Florida. Now, I'm sure you all know where... You don't know where Ruskin is? Well, Ruskin is 20 miles south of Tampa, and 20 miles north of Bradenton, and 20 miles from civilization. In the middle of nowhere, we've got a suburb in our town named Doodle Hill. So where are you from?
Doodle Hill.
And you go 6 miles outside of Ruskin, you come to the first town, and it's called Why Mama, Florida. 300 population. I think somebody looked at it and said, "Why Mama?" I said, "There's nothing out there." And you go 6 more miles, here comes the first town. It's called Fort Lonesome, Florida. And it's Lonesome. Population 6. You all in the trailer out behind the blinking light. That's all there is.
You said, "My brother, meet the First Baptist Church. Surely that was a pretentious church."
It's pretending, all right. Little tiny white frame building been eaten up by the termites years ago. We had old slack pews in there with the largest collection of bubble gum under them pews you ever saw. You didn't reach your hand under our pew and get it back. You retread every truck tire in Germany under that pew. Anyway, not only that, but we had the world's only gospel pigeons lived in that church. In between the ceiling and the roof, there they were. I'd be preaching away and I'd pause for dramatic effect and you'd hear. I said, "Folks, the Bible teaches us they're invisible beings that inhabit the church house. They're all around you. Up above your head. Down below your feet. Invisible. Trying to keep you from getting saved. Demons the devil sent." A holy hush had come on that congregation about that time. Right up above your head, you'd hear. All the pigeons would be scratching around. It'd illustrate anything you want to preach on. You want to preach on Noah and the ark to them come flying in the back door. Well, 142nd Sunday school, that's the best attendance they'd ever had. 40 years they've been there. I said, "Folks, for 30-some years you've been down here on this corner, and you've been trying to, and you said, if you want it, come and get it, here it is." I said, "Now, I said, we're going to take it to them like the Bible said. We're going to have soul winning visitation. I mean, every Thursday, we're going to have soul winning visitation in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And I said, Saturday, we're going to have visitation about some other things. We're going to have a visitation on a bus route. And I said, we're going to go out until the blacktop ends and the sand road starts. And we're going to go up some little lane up past a grove someplace to a little tar paper shack and get some little kids and bring them here to this church and tell them about Jesus Christ."
I don't know what you think about country people, but I like them.
Those old country people said, "Brother, baby, we'll sure try it. They sure will." And they did. They took the bus routes. And in 2 years, we were running an average attendance of 600 in Sunday school instead of 140-some. And God had blessed. In those first 2 years, we had 1,100 people saved, walked down, trust Christ as personal Savior. It was just wonderful. Then Dr. Hiles came messing around our church.
And Brother Hiles came down and said, Wally, you've got to come up to Hamlin and run my bus ministry. It's going into town. It's no good. Now, nothing going on around.
And I said, no, I don't want to, Brother Hiles. I said, first of all, we kill one another pretty quick. And I said, secondly, I don't want to leave Ruskin. I love it here. I said, Wally, I want to tell you something. I said, I would go ahead to save America. I'd trip my own mother. I said, think what I'd do to you.
I said, I'll be there, son. I'll be there.
And I went with Brother Hiles, Brother. Miss Beebe and I went. I said, I'm only coming to get this thing straightened out that you got. And I did. And God blessed and we became the largest church in the world, the largest bus ministry and all that, building, bus center, everything, all that stuff. And 180 buses. Boy, 180. You're worried about your three. Okay, now. But I was gone for almost 4 years. And they had three pastors at our church, and a lot of things happened. And it was rough. Every year they'd call me back as pastor again. And I said, no. And finally, I said, okay, I'll come back and pastor you again. So this is the second coming of BB back there. And anyway, so now when I went back to the church, they were running 300 in Sunday school. Greatly in debt, big problems, a lot of problems, 300 in Sunday school. By the way, I forgot to tell you. A town of Ruskin only has 2,000 people in it. 2,000 people, two stoplights, three grocery stores, and six 7-Elevens. That's all there's there. Nothing else. And your 7-Eleven is a smell endless with a little bit more. But anyway, and I knew if I'd mentioned that to Perky Mumpy, listen. But nevertheless, not much there. A whole town, 2,000 people, that's all. Well, God's blessed us. And this last Christmas, we had 1,818 in Sunday school. Last year, average 809. This past February, average 950 in Sunday school. And it's a bad day. It's just a bad day when we don't have 20 people saved. Last year, 1,276 marched down the aisle to get saved. And because we worked at it, because we pleaded and we begged and we went on visitation and people knocked on doors. Last year, our bus routes averaged almost 700 per Sunday in Sunday school. 600 and some. I'm saying God can do it for you too. He can do it for you with the bus ministry. Now, results are for you. Point number two. Boy, we're going through the new now. Point number two. You too can fail. People say, how'd you get in the bus ministry? Well, 1960, I was the pastor of the Grace Baptist Church. Ever hear that name? The Grace Baptist Church in Kankakee, Illinois. And I saw something about a bus ministry in a paper about Michigan. You folks from Flint up there. And I said, boy, that's really great. I'm going to try bus ministry. So I bought four buses. And on the biggest day I ever had on four buses, I had 60. I was a failure and didn't even know it. But anyway, I had zeal but no knowledge. I thought if you just paint your name on the side of the bus and run them up and down the street, and people come running out of their houses and say, hey, wait a minute, I want to get on your bus. Wait a minute, wait. When you go by that house, there's another screen door and they go. I had a lady call me on the telephone and she said, you send your bus through my trailer court one more time and you ain't going to have a bus. I was preaching in Chattanooga, Trinity Baptist in Chattanooga, and a fellow came to me and said, Brother Beebe, they won't ride. I said, they will ride. I tried to encourage bus captains. I said, they will ride. I said, they won't ride. I said, they will ride. I said, the parents won't let them. I said, the parents will let them. I said, the parents won't let them. I said, the parents will let them. I said, she shoots the bus. A crazy woman, every time the bus goes by, pow, pow.
But change your route, boy.
Anyway, I didn't know anything about the bus ministry. I didn't know a thing about it. And I said that to say this. Some of you may say, well, we tried before and it didn't work. Okay, look, I don't care if you did try it before and it didn't work. You're looking at a guy that failed in his first one. I failed. I mean, flat made a big failure about it. But it didn't stop there. I went on. And then became the largest bus ministry. Well, I've had 5,000 people ride my bus to Sunday school in one church on one Sunday. One Sunday. Averaged 100 to 150 people saved off of our bus routes every single Sunday. Every Sunday. And thousands and thousands come to the Lord. That's what we want. Now, let me just go on my story. In 1964, 4 years later,
I was called as the associate pastor to Dr. Bob Gray at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Remember that, Bob Gray, Trinity Baptist, Jacksonville. I'll be referring to it. Well, I'd been with Brother Gray for about a year. I was there 4.5 years as his associate. And I'd been there about a year, and he came back one day all excited and said, "Brother Beattie, I want you to take over the bus ministry." I remembered my failure with my 4 buses. I was associate pastor. And I know that we don't have we probably don't have any assistant pastors or associate pastors here today. But, of course, you realize assistant pastors don't have much to do. Just go down and work out at the Y and all that stuff. Well, first of all, I was the music director for the church. I did all the congregational singing for all the services and directed all the congregational singing. I directed the adult choir. 42 voices, my adult choir, different special arrangement every Sunday morning. 52 voices, my teen chorale on Sunday night, different special arrangement every Sunday night. I auditioned all the special music of the church, make sure it was quality music, sang in many musical groups myself, trios, quartets, and quintets, and the other groups. Then Dr. Gray and I had a daily 30-minute radio broadcast. Every day, 4.5 years, a daily 30-minute live radio broadcast. At 6:30 to 7 every morning. I don't know how live we were, but we were there. First of all, I was the announcer on the radio broadcast. "Good morning and welcome to Daybreak, coming to you live from the auditorium studios of Trinity Baptist Church in downtown Jacksonville, Florida. Stay tuned now for the gospel." And you know how it goes. But anyway, I'm the announcer on the radio broadcast. And then, besides that, I was the engineer on the broadcast. I have FCC license from Federal Communications, and I'm a licensed engineer. And I work the MPEG tape recorder, the mixers, and the transmitter, and the whole business. And then I'm also the soloist on the radio broadcast every morning. And now, gospel soloist Wally Beebe steps to the Daybreak microphone to sing for us "The Old Rugged Cross." Take it away, Wally. Thank you. Anyway, so I was soloist on. Dr. Gray was gone about half the time in Bible conference and revival work, and so I was preacher on the broadcast half the time. I was in my series, he was in his series, and we just went on like that. And then I directed the congregational singing. I directed all that, the citywide crusades for Jack Van Impey and Albert Green and many other of the evangelists. Then I taught the adult men's Bible class, 45 to 65 men in my adult class every Sunday morning. I taught the adult training class on Sunday night, 300 adults in my training class on Sunday night. I was assistant editor of the Baptist Beacon newspaper, went into 5,000 homes, articles and sermons for the paper. I preached in the pastor's absence, took care of all of the church when he's gone. I was purchasing agent for the church and bought everything the church, whether it was real estate, property, whatever. One time bought 35 pianos for the one new building that we built. Then I was the advertising director for the church. I did all the announcements for the radio and the television and the television appearances and the ads and the spot announcements, all of that. Dr. Gray formed the Trinity Rescue Mission in Jacksonville. I was vice president of the Rescue Mission. Dr. Gray and I started the Trinity Youth Camp, Keystone Heights, Florida. 5 years, every summer, 3 weeks out of every summer. I lived at the camp speaking 2 or 3 times a day and going ahead and doing all of that. Then Dr. Gray and I started the Trinity Christian Academy in Jacksonville. This year, I believe it's 1,400 students in the academy. I was vice president of the academy and approved the curriculum and the teachers and so forth. Then Dr. Gray and I started the Trinity Bookstore in Jacksonville. And, last year, about $200,000 worth of business in the bookstore. I did all the ordering of the books to make sure they were conservative and fundamental, used the proper version of Scripture and all of that. I was secretary treasurer of that corporation. Then Brother Gray said, "Take over the bus ministry." Well, since I didn't have anything to do, I thought I'd give her a whirl. I said all that to say this. We get in a lot of ruts sometimes, spiritually. We say, "Well, I don't have time. Don't have time." Yeah, I was preaching at Ed Nelson's church out in Denver, Colorado. And Dr. Gray, I had invited him to come and speak with me in the conference. And Dr. Gray was on the platform, and he said, "Brother Beattie, what would have happened if you had said, 'No, I'm too busy to take the bus ministry'?" Well, first of all, my little yellow bus book would never have been written. 100,000 copies now. 100,000 copies all over the world. Ian Paisley wrote me for 6 copies the other day. I think he's starting a tank ministry over there in Ireland. six copies. And all over the world, everywhere, all over the world, with a bus ministry. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. What I'm saying is this. You're not too busy. And if God's man, your pastor, tells you, "I believe God could use you as a bus captain. God could use you as a bus driver. God could use you out of this," you listen to your preacher. I listen to my preacher. My preacher said, "Take the bus ministry." I said, "Okay, I'll take it." I said, "Not only that, I'm going to take it and I'm going to make a science out of that thing. I'm going to work it and work it and work it and work it and find out what works best and go ahead and do this and that and the other thing until it works the best. And then so I can help somebody with this thing and let it run."
And so I did. Continue my story. I took the bus ministry and I tried this and it wouldn't work. I tried that and it wouldn't work. I tried that again and again until it wouldn't work anymore. I found some little old things you could do with a bus route and built it up to 40, 50 people in just about 3 weeks. Boy, our bus ministry went from 100 to 300, 500, 700, and kept right on climbing. Last year, an average 2,500 per Sunday on the buses alone. On the buses alone. By the way, I might just add this. I found out that 1/4 of all of our Christian college students were off of our bus routes. 1/4 of them. I could take you, for instance, to Bob Jones and show you Arlene Beck, who just graduated from Bob Jones. Had cancer, by the way, and a little bus kid. I could take you and show you a lot of those things. All over these folks that live for the Lord, who are now missionaries and preachers and others. All right, point number 3. Why not have a bus ministry and 2 wives? Why not have a bus ministry and 2 wives? Why not? Oh, you say, Brother Beebe, but if we had all these kids, what in the world would we do with them? How could we teach all these kids? How in the world could we take care of all those hundreds of kids that came? Yeah, I bet you've been right down there the day Peter preached to 3,000 of them, and 3,000 of them came forward to get saved. And you'd probably say after 100 of them came forward, stop, stop, we don't want anybody else saved. No, you better loosen it and let it go. You better get as many people as you possibly can. You best open the door and let them come and do everything you can about it. God does the business about limiting. Now, just put it in our head. You see, we've been taught a lot of things that really aren't true. And that's why we've got to be careful. We've been taught, now you must have just 5 people in the Sunday school class. And then it's all right. Well, Jesus didn't have 5 people any time in any Sunday school class. And neither did Peter, neither did Paul, neither did these others. Now, the thing is, if they can do it, Jesus said, and greater things than these shall ye do. And I believe him, and I think that we can do them too. In the power of the Holy Spirit, give him the benefit and give him the glory for all his time. Now, you get in bus ministry, things are going to be different. It was different on the day of Pentecost when they had all those people. It's just different. I remember one Sunday, our auditorium in Trinity was a long, narrow auditorium with a balcony that came out about halfway, and balcony on both sides like this. And I remember one day, Brother Graves preached away, little boy got up in the back and started to go out. And he didn't want to have any interruption, so he said, where are you going? And the little boy said, I'm going to the bathroom. 900 people went into hysterics. I remember another Sunday, little boy got up and started going. I knew where he was going. But anyway, he didn't want to go to the bathroom out that way. He wanted to go to the bathroom out this way, down by the preacher. And so, he got to the aisle in the balcony and went the whole length. And the whole length of the aisle, there was a metal rail ran the whole length of the aisle. He had a metal ring. And when he got to the back of the auditorium, he went, boing, 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 all the way out over here. I was trying to be a good assistant pastor, and I began to pray, Lord, help that kid get stuck in there. By the time the door came open, he goes, boing, 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 all the way back again. I remember the Sunday's little boy sitting up the balcony on this side. He should have received a scholarship at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He was an astronomical aeronautical engineer. He built the most fantastic paper airplane out of a bulletin you ever saw. That thing had flaps, ailerons, elevators, the whole works. Lockheed needed him. Brother Grant preached that boy's counting down. 3, 2, 1, 0. When he got to 0, he stood up in the balcony on this side and went, boom. And that plane went out of the balcony, circled around about 3 times like this, and went, boom, 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 and crashed in the top of the bald-headed man. No offense. You're going to have weird stuff happen when you get in the bus ministry. It's going to be weird. Different. Listen, they ever dawn on you? That was different when Peter had the crowds. When 3,000 of them got saved, they didn't have paper airplanes then. Instead, they were going to the temple to worship God with live animal sacrifices. Some of them had pigeons, and somebody said, hey, there's my pigeon. They're going over. That's my pigeon over there. And somebody else said,
my name's better than your lamb.
All right, bam, 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 bam. All this going on, and Peter up there preaching, trying to get their attention. Now, it proves this. we're used to mausoleum-type services. And that isn't the way it is. You're going to go ahead and get a whole gang of crew in here that have never been in church before. They may be a little bit rowdy. You may have to go ahead and sit down, be quiet. All right, everybody be quiet now. You're just going to have to do that sometimes. Now, the thing is, right now, get used to it before it happens, and then you'll be ready. I met one Sunday. Lester Olof named our church in Jacksonville the Sardine Baptist Church. Because you could never find a seat even on Wednesday night. You can find one. And if you want to sit with your whole family, you had to come early and save a seat. And I remember one of my bus captains came in at 5:30, saved seats for the 7:30 service. And he went ahead and he had a whole stack of Bibles. He's putting those Bibles down and saving seats, you know. And all of a sudden he heard a woo up in the baptistry. He turned around and looked over there. He saw a head go across. He said, something fishy there. He went up there, opened the door of the baptistry just in time to see a little girl in the bathing suit dive off and swim to the other side. Get out of there. What are you kids doing in the baptistry? Get out of there. Said, it's all right, mister. Said, we ride the bus too. This is our pool too. You're going to have weird stuff happen when you get to the bus. Why not? Well, things will be a little bit different. All right, why have a bus? Why have a bus ministry? Two whys. Number one, it's just plain soul winning. I wish you wouldn't even call it a bus ministry. And I tell you what, don't vote on something like this because it's soul winning. That's all it is. It's just soul winning. We're going to go ahead and win somebody Christ. Use the vehicle of the bus. Use a little plan that I'm going to show you, and it'll work for God. Now, soul winning. So that's number one. Point number one. It's soul winning. We can list verse after verse after verse. We left 20 verses, 30 verses tonight, 100 verses tonight on soul winning. And be all that way. But let me just give you some. Matthew 19:13-14. Then there were brought unto him little children, and should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. You say, well, Brother Biggie, if we get a bus ministry going, we're just going to have a little children's church going over here. No, you're going to have a lot of people saved. And something else, you're going to have the hearts of those mothers and dads. Because I'll tell you one thing, you talk about my five kids, and you got my heart right there. Because I love my kids, and you do too. And that's the way to into the hearts of the moms and dads, is with those kids. Now, all right, here's the verse. And Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have some people say, don't let them come. But I'm going to be on the crowd that says, come on, suffer, and come unto me. Matthew 18:5-11. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. I could preach an hour on that one verse. I'd love to receive Jesus, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to have tea for Jesus, have a coffee for Jesus at your house? Wouldn't you like to have Jesus stay at your house overnight? Wouldn't you go ahead and spread out the best blanket for him and the loveliest sheets and everything else? Wouldn't you just love to be able to receive Jesus at your home, or receive him at your church, receive him somewhere? He said, if you receive one of these little children in my name, you can receive me. I want you. I'll tell you one thing. I'd like that. Verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost, and they're lost. Matthew 9:37 and following. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You say, what's that mean? That means there are few people willing to give up their recreation and their bowling and all the other things that don't count on Saturday, knock on a few doors, and ask a few questions, and go ahead and ask somebody to come. Hey, you know what I saw today? I was down in the city of Zoran. I was there in that big metropolis of Zoran. And you know what I saw? I saw two buses come by. Two blue buses with U.S. Army on. And you know what I saw on those buses? Kids. And they pulled up and opened those doors, and children got off that bus. And I thought to myself, if that pastor got any sense at all, he'll go ahead and follow some of those buses home and find out where those kids live. That's what I've done. I've done that for years. Some people chase fire trucks. I chase buses. I look for a school bus, and I mark the house X on it, you know. But really, that's what you guys want to do. You ought to go ahead and find out where these people are living on the economy. Find them. Talk to them. Ask them about Jesus. Would you let your kids come? I'd love to have your kids come on my bus route and work on it that way. It'll work. Okay? Now, something else. Another verse of Scripture. And it says this. Matthew 11:5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. This was in response to John the Baptist, who was in jail for preaching the gospel, sent word to Jesus and said, "Are you really the Christ, or do we look for another?" Imagine somebody getting so discouraged about the Christian life. Someone who had said a few weeks before, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He identified him as the Savior, the one who was going to die as the Paschal Lamb. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And yet, just in a few weeks, he got so discouraged that he was in jail for preaching the gospel. And there he said, "Are you really the Christ? Do we look for another?" Jesus said, "Yes, I am. And to prove it, to go ahead and tell you that I am the Christ, I substantiate that with the fact that I work miracles. I'm a miracle worker. You go back and tell John the Baptist, Matthew 11:5. You go back and tell John the Baptist, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." I wish we had about 40 slums around here. I'd show you how to fill some buses. I wish you had some folks that lived in old poverty-looking houses where they threw junk down around the house. I wish I could show you that, because I'll tell you what, if you do, you found a gold mine for the bus ministry. You found a whole gang of kids that their parents maybe would like to do, but they can't do. And maybe they don't care because of alcohol, because of something else. But I'll tell you one thing, they can be brought to Christ, and those kids can come to the Lord. Why don't you go after them? The poor have the gospel preached to them. That's a miracle when that happens. Let's go on to something else. In Luke 14:16-23, I found the plan for the whole bus ministry. It's right there. Plan. Luke 14:16-23. The plan's this. Jesus said, "Now I want you to go out and ask people to come to the wedding feast of the Lamb." Virtually what he was saying is, go get them saved, because if you get them saved, they'll come to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he said, "Go invite them." And so they went out. They started knocking on doors, but they did just like we do. They tried to figure it out. They tried to figure it out. One of the biggest problems that we have is mental blocks that we have. Discouraging mental blocks. "Well, they wouldn't ride that far. They wouldn't come over here to our church. They wouldn't do that." Did you ever take a group of kids home, by the way? Did you ever take them home anywhere? What's the first thing they say?
"Take me home last."
They want to ride, brother. If you say, "I'm going to the North Pole," they say, "Let me go." They want to go somewhere. And so the bus ministry is the biggest super thing to get kids you ever saw. But remember, the devil's going to throw a cloud of doubt over us every time we ever try to do anything. And the best thing to do is just fight that doubt. Fight that depression. Fight that negative spirit. And go on with it. Now, Luke 14:16-23. They went out and started knocking on doors, but they used their head, and that was a mistake. Because if you don't use the Word of God as your plan, you'll never get it. Here it is. They went out there. They knocked on the door and they said, "Well, let's see. Who should I go after first? I know I'll look for the folks that are living in their own private homes out on the economy. The big officers, the ones that have lots of money and everything else. Lots of people that have nice big Mercedes cars." "Hi there. I'm Mr. Beebe for the First Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you folks come to Sunday school Sunday."
"I'm sorry, but we bought some land down on in Switzerland. We're going to fly down there and see it."
"Then we'll come." Now, if I was in the States, I'd say, "Well, we bought a lot down there in Cape Coral in Florida, and we're flying down on the next Delta Airlines, because Delta is ready when you are." But anyway, that's it. The Bible says one had bought a piece of land, verse 18. They all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said, "I bought a piece of land. I got to go look at it." The second one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. By the way, that's 10 tractors in the original Greek. "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got to go prove them." And the next one said, "I married a wife." You say, "Oh boy, he's got an excuse." Well, that wasn't what it meant. It meant they started the oriental process of marriage that took several days and perhaps a week or more. And he was saying, "We've got the caterers coming in and the instruments are playing and the guests are arriving. And I can't come to your wedding feast. I've got to go to my own." Well, they came back discouraged, verse 21, and said, "Lord, they won't come." And that's right. You picked the wrong gang. You picked the wrong ones. You want to get the ones that are up against it. You went out there and got somebody who can afford to buy a piece of land. Brother, the kind you want, somebody that doesn't got two pennies to put together. You want to go find somebody that just hasn't got in. Just lives from check to check, boy. Borrows all they can. That's the ones you want to go after. No, not somebody like that. They said, "Go out to..." And Jesus said in Matthew 21, he said, "Go unto the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.
Go into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. We're supposed to go? Go after poor folks. I mean, go after them that are having a real hard time. Go after them and say, hey, we'd love to have your kids come to Sunday school. We want to get your kids come to Sunday school. And get them. Get mom and dad too while you're at it. And they did, in verse 22, Lord, we've done as thou commanded, yet there's room. Verse 23, Jesus said, all right, now that you've done that, I want you to go to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither all these others, but now go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You say, Dr. Beamer, you took 3.5 years of Greek in university. What does the word compel mean in the original language? I know this is very deep. But the word compel in the original Greek language means compel. It means they had no plans on coming. They didn't want to do it. Their mind was against it. But something you said, or your persistence in asking them to come, or you offering them something, or you giving them some kind of incentive, may broke down that matter of resistance, and they came against your will.
I don't think anybody will come to church against their will.
I'll get to that in just a minute.
Now, you say, well, Brother Beebe, what does that mean? The streets and the lanes, the highways and hedges. The Bible is literally true, and by the way, it was written by the Holy Spirit. So when you find something in the Bible, that was put there because God wanted it there. That was put there because the Holy Spirit wanted it there. I got to forget, and here you guys are trying to record all of this. And that means that God left out what he didn't want in there, and he put it in what he did want in there. What did it say? It said that the streets and lanes. Hey, see, streets and lanes are not the same as highways and hedges. The streets inside a little town. Lanes, little street that runs into that. The highway runs from Zoran to where are we now? He doesn't know where he is. Where's that Chanel Invis that we have? You'll find that. No. All right. We're in Lutzen, whatever it is. Okay. The highway runs from Zoran to Lutzen, whatever it is. Now, that's what Jesus... Here's the plan. The plan...
You say, well, I don't know. I couldn't get in.
Listen, you go to everybody here, and every street, and every lane, everybody's living on the economy, everybody else... Get the German kids, get everybody you possibly can, get everybody ride the bus you can, and then you get on the highway, and you go to Zorn, and you get everybody you can in Zorn. Then you go to the highway, go to the next little town, get everybody you can, and you just keep going. There is no limit to where you can go with the bus ministry. Absolutely no limit. Did you hear the other day that Dr. Jack Hiles is suing John Rollins in Cincinnati, Ohio for $1 million? That's right. Jack Hiles is suing John Rollins in Cincinnati, Ohio for $1 million because two of their buses collided out in Texas. And while the two drivers were arguing about whose fault it was, one of Jerry Falwell's buses came along and took them all to Lynchburg. I don't know if that's true. You say, well, Brother Beebe, these people on the bus ministry, they don't really last. I mean, you bring them on the bus. They don't really last. Don't tell that to my assistant pastor, would you? Because he was saved off the bus ride with a piece of bubble gum. Don't tell him that he doesn't last, because he's been with me now for 3 years, his third year with me. And graduate Bob Jones, fine Christian, and a great soul winner. Don't tell him don't last. Don't tell a fellow's pastor got the church in Fairmore, Oklahoma, that doesn't last. See, he's a long-haired hippie, big old hippie. And they came down the aisle, got saved one morning off a bus route that his wife was on. Don't tell him it doesn't last, because he's a preacher out there and has his own church. Don't tell these people, I can take you to the missionaries. I can take you to all those people. Don't tell them. Well, let me tell you a story. In Hammond, Indiana, there's a little girl named Pat. And I won't pronounce her last name as a Polish name. You know, something or other. And she came on a bus route, said she was 9 years old to First Baptist Church in Hammond. 9 years old. She wore, winter and summer, a little white, dirty white coat. Winter and summer. Little fur, artificial fur, white coat. Winter and summer. Came every service. Winter and summer. And she'd come the first Sunday after she got saved. She came to Brother Hiles and said, Brother Hiles, said, would you pray for my mama to get saved? Pray for my mama to get saved. He prayed. Next Sunday morning, knock at his door after service. Brother Hiles, this is Pat. Would you pray for my mama to get saved? Did that for 9 years. After 8 years, she got saved. She trusted the Lord. 9 years came by. Pat was 18 years old. An 18-year-old was going to graduate from high school. And Brother Hiles asked all of his seniors to come and have a senior appointment with him and just talk over what they were going to do with their life for the Lord. And so they were walking in the hall, and Brother Hiles said, "Hi, Pat, how you doing?" He said, "Listen, when are you going to come by for the senior appointment?" He said, "Well, I don't know when I'm going to come by." I said, "You don't even need to come by. I know what you ought to do." You know what I ought to do?" He said, "Yeah." And Pat said, "What? What should I do?" He said, "You got to go to college." "Me? Go to college? I'm just a bus kid. I haven't ran a bus for 9 years in this church. We don't have any money. I don't even have a coat. What are you talking about? I couldn't possibly do that. I could..." Oh, just argue with the moms. That's not, "Oh, I forgot all about it." God doesn't answer bus kids' prayers, does he? Well, yes, he does. Well, I forgot about one other fact. God's broke, isn't he?
"Well, no, he's not broke."
"Well, God's dead then."
No,
"I'll go to college." And then she did. She went to Tennessee Temple. And she went there. And she was there about a year. And Brother Hiles was in his study one day, and they said, "A call from Pat." "Call don't collect, of course." And so Brother Hiles took it and said, "Hi, Pat, how you doing?" She said, "Oh, Brother Hiles, most wonderful things happened." Said, "I haven't told anybody. And most wonderful things happened. Most wonderful things happened." Said, "Well, you haven't told me now. Come on, tell me." Said, "But Brother Hiles, said, a preacher boy has proposed to me, and I'm going to be a preacher's wife." And Brother Hiles said, he very dignifiedly put down the phone, ran around his office, and, "Woo! Woo! Woo!" And that little voice on the phone, "Brother Hiles! Anyway, it went on. They got married, had a lovely wedding, went back to school, lived in a little old upstairs apartment, and one night he was by preaching at Tennessee Temple. And Pat said, "Now, when you come by," I said, "I want you to go ahead and come up and have dinner with us, have lunch with us." He said, fine. So he started up the stairs to where they lived, and he could smell something. Smoke. And she could hear him talk, he could hear him talking before he got to the door.
"What am I going to say? I buried Brother Hiles' steak."
Saved up all week long, bought him a steak. Didn't have any money, just you know how kids are. And bought that steak for
him. "What am I going to do? I burned the steak out of there."
By that time, Brother Hiles, "Hi, how you doing? Hey, listen. If you're cooking any meat for me, burn it for me. That's the way I like it." After the meal was over, she turned to her husband and said,
"Would it be all right if I kissed Brother Hiles goodbye?"
Said, fine. She leaned up to kiss him on the cheek, and she said,
"Brother Hiles, said God isn't dead, and he answers bus kids' prayers, and he's not broke either."
And I was there the Sunday that Brother Hiles got the graduation announcement from Pat. Pat graduated from Tennessee Temple. I could tell you many, many stories about that. No, these little bus kids grow up, and no different than you are, no different than I. Well, I mean, giving them a candy and all that stuff, I'm bribing those kids out there. Oh, did you ever have a contest on your bus? Anybody here ever have a contest on your bus route? You did. Now, what'd you give away? What'd you give away on your bus? What'd you give away? What?
Well, it was back in my last race. It was a 100-foot long bag of popcorn.
Oh, you did? Bribery, you've been bobbing them to ride that bus. Good.
You might think about it. 100-foot bag of popcorn.
That's good. Now, first of all, I wish these people would talk about bribing and learn to read. And I'm not going to talk about Watergate, but anyway, the word bribe, the dictionary says, that you betray something You betray a trust in order to get some gain. That's a bribe. But that isn't what you do. If I give a kid a piece of bubble gum and get him to come to Sunday school, I gave him an incentive to come. Now, I give a lot of incentives. Did you ever give your kids any incentives to go to Sunday school? Huh? I have. I've said to my boys and girls, my own five children, I've said, you're going or you're going to get a weapon. Right? Okay. Now, they don't, you know, they say, well, I don't believe in giving incentives. Your kids are going to stay home. Mine are going to go. All right, now, look, incentives come in many ways, but let me just talk about this for just a minute. Some people say, rewards, contests, prizes. Well, first of all, rewards. That's never mentioned in the Bible. Never, ever, never. God never offers any rewards, anybody does he? Huh? Matthew 10:42, you might look that up. It says this, and whosoever shall give the drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, strange, since the Lord wrote the Bible, and I didn't write the Bible, Jack Hollis didn't write the Bible, and no one who uses promotions writes the Bible, but the Holy Spirit did. Now, listen to what it says. It says, and you will in no wise lose your reward. Why didn't it say, Brother Rick, now, if you just love the Lord, you'll go ahead and give out cups of cold water. It didn't say that. It said, if you'll give out cups of cold water, I will give you a reward for doing it. Now, that means that God the Holy Spirit is offering us rewards in the Bible to do things for Him. And that's perfectly all right. Now, we could go on with many other verses, but let me talk about this. How about prizes? I press towards the prize of the high calling in Christ, right? And the Lord tells us through the Bible, He said, now, everybody runs, but only one obtains the prize. So run ye, that you'd obtain the prize. Are we supposed to go after prizes? According to the Bible, we're supposed to go after all kinds of prizes. How about rewards? He is the rewarder of them that diligently seeking. His reward is with him. 3 John said, be careful you don't lose your reward. 2 John, rather. All right. Many other verses I could tell you. But let's go to this. It's back to that word compel. Compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Well, you say, Brother Beebe,
I just don't believe that you ought to... I believe people ought to come to church because they just love the Lord and they want to hear the Word of God.
Then let's close up all the rescue missions, shall we? I mean, let's go back to the Pacific Garden Mission, close it up, and the Greenville Rescue Mission, close it up, and all the other rescue missions, close them down. Why? Because what drunken bum staggered in the mission tonight and said, hey, I want to lay the word on my boy, I'm ready for the work. Well, they came in and said, boy, there's a cold wind blowing off Lake Michigan. I'd sure like to go ahead and find a place to stay. Can you tell me if there's any place to stay? He said, yes, sir, right in here. We're going to have something for you to eat, nice, warm meal, good place to stay. But first of all, would you step in the chapel? We'd like to tell you something that's really good. Huh? Amen. That's exactly what goes on. Don't you tell me that is wrong. It's not wrong, it's right. That's where Billy Sunday was saved through the Pacific Garden Mission. That's where Mel Trotter saved all those missions up, and Mel Trotter missions. We'd have to close down all the Salvation Army, too. Old Booth had soup, soap, and salvation. That was his motto. Soup, soap, and salvation. We'd have to close them down. We'd have to recall every medical missionary then, if that was the case, because the medical missionaries are not supposed to go and just treat people physically. They're supposed to be treating somebody. Here's he's over in Africa treating somebody, a broken arm. He said, sir, now, you've got this broken arm, but I can fix that. But I've examined you, and you've got a bad heart, too. What do you mean? Yeah, you've got a real bad heart. It's fatal if you don't get it fixed. But hey, we can do a transplant right here. It just takes a second. And we got the great physicians going to do it. Well, what do you mean? I mean, you've got a heart full of sin, just like I have. But I had Jesus in my heart, and when he did, he transplanted and gave me a new heart. And now I can go to heaven when I die. Listen, when anybody in a medical missionary goes ahead and treats somebody else, they ought to be giving them the gospel at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's bring them home. No. All right. Now, rewards, of course. I want to tell you something. I'm a grace preacher. I believe in the grace of God to save you. But I want to tell you something else, too. The Bible clearly states that every Christian who's saved, everybody who's saved, every Christian, that every reward you get after salvation is by works, not by grace. You say, what do you mean? I mean, it's work to be a good Christian. If you think it's, I'll just get saved and sail along. No, you've got some work to do. And you've got some refining to do of your own life. And you've got some things that you've got to do that God won't do for you.
Right? Isn't that right? All right. Now, okay, but he does something else too. He holds out for us rewards after we're saved. Let me give you five passages of Scripture that you can look up later. 1 Peter 5:4 is the crown of glory offered to Christians after you're saved. Crown of glory for the preacher. You've got it. I've got it. If you preach, you've got it. All right? 1 Thessalonians 2:19, the crown of rejoicing for soul winners. If you win someone, you get that. James 1:12, the crown of life for enduring temptation. You go along with every real worldly thing that comes along, you'll not get this thing. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul talked about the Grecian Roman athletes physically kept their bodies in shape. What did they do that for? Because they wanted to win an corruptible crown. But Paul said we do it for an uncorruptible crown. In 2 Timothy 4:8, the clearest verse perhaps, it goes like this. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. He said, Brother Beebe, what's that mean? It means this. God is laying up real crowns in heaven, just as real as my watch, for you who are saved, for you, the things that you'll do for Jesus Christ. And he's going to award them to you. You say, well, that's kind of selfish for me to get crowns. No, because it says, then you cast those crowns at his feet. To show him how much you love him. I mean, that's simple. Yeah. All right, now quickly, let's go to the next thing. You say, well, Brother B.B., you've been preaching for an hour and you're down to number three, right? Don't worry. I said two whys. First why is because it's soul winning. Second why we have the bus ministry. Transportation. Write it down. Transportation. That's right. Write it down there. Now, scratch it off. Because it's not transportation. That's why bus ministries fail. Because some dumb thinks it's just shuttling back and forth. No, it isn't. It's a ministry. It's a ministry. You know, if it were transportation, the reason that people didn't come to this church, then how come the people who live 50 feet from this church don't come to this church? If it's transported. Well, you said they're not interested. Right. You ever dawn on you that's the same reason that people live 50 miles from you? 10 miles, 20 miles, 15 miles, 5 miles don't come in. If you get the 10-mile folks interested, they'd come 5 miles, folks. 5 block away, folks. Did it ever dawn on your peanut brain? Oh, I'm sorry, President Carter. I did not mean that. Things have changed since Mr. Carter has gone in the White House. No amens on that. Please. Anyway. They have changed. They have changed. I received a directive at the Department of Transportation the other day from the United States government. The Department of Transportation came down. New directive. Since President Carter is in, every road in the United States is either going to be smooth or chunky. That's all. All right. Now. You say, well, if it's not transportation, what is the bus ministry? Point number four. Well, we're going to breeze through the new. Watch it. Point number four is personal interest. How far away are you personally interested in getting somebody saved? 5 blocks away? Down to Zora? Are you interested in going down here 20 miles? 15 miles? I am. I'll do it. Won't you do it? Let's go to the next point. Point number five. Where do you go? Well, middle or lower class. But in your case, you'll be looking for strictly, you'll be looking, basically, start with, you'll be looking for military. Secondly, you'll be looking for anyone else that you can get to come. That's the way to do it. All right, now. Okay. Point number six is cost or pay. Cost or pay. You say, well, Brother B.D., I just don't know. It costs too much money. You ever hear of faith? Anybody here ever hear of faith? Yeah, we've heard of faith. Said, quit talking by sight and not by faith. I know, frankly, in our bus ministry, we put it on as a home missions project because it's the greatest home missionary project you could put on. You get more people saved with it. You don't expect the kids to pay their way. I take it on like I would an orphan home, like I would the rescue mission or whatever. All right, now, to the next one. Distance of routes. How far away should you go? Well, that's pretty easy. If you put a dot on the map and go 25 miles in every direction, that's easy bus route territory. One half of my bus routes in Hammond were 40 miles away in Chicago, Illinois. All the way across the state line in Chicago, Illinois. One bus that I had was 85 miles away at Great Lakes Naval Training Station. And brought the service guys in. And I went out to Honolulu. I was preaching in Honolulu. Some guy said, hey, Brother Beebe, it's me. I'm driving your bus down from Great Lakes. Yeah, I'm over here in Honolulu now. out. Great, wonderful. Praise the Lord. I was preaching in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska. Brother Beebe, I used to ride your bus from Great Lakes Naval Training Station. Isn't that what? I said, praise the Lord. Wonderful. Great.
That's the way it goes.
You can get it. Now, all right, distance arounds. And don't forget right close by. If you have any idea that a kid who lives, suppose a military kid lives a block away. You say, well, he'll walk. No, he won't. No, he won't. You go line him up. Make sure he's there and go. You know, I started a bus ministry down in Lima, Peru, and they didn't have a bus. They have a concentration of houses, just like this, everywhere. Here's a concentration of houses. No buses. They said, what are we going to do? I said, working without a bus. Just go ahead and go 4 or 5 blocks away from the church. One guy take this area, one guy that takes this area. They knock on the door and say, I'll be by Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for you, and blow a whistle. He went by and blew a whistle. Looks like a Pied Piper coming in. The last I heard, they were running 1,000 on a bus ministry with no buses. That's right. Well, point number 8, the keys to the bus ministry. Who are the keys? Well, we're breezing through the dew. Only got 11 points. We'll be through it before you know it. All right? And you say, well, who are the keys to the bus ministry? The bus captains are the keys. Now, how many bus captains do we have here? Let me see your hands. Your bus captain. Your bus captain. You used to be... Boy, you better get you another one, son. We're going to pray. Pray on that. All right. Are you here at home?
Yes.
Hey, get a hold of him. Of course, get the handcuffs, please. Handcuffs. All right. Let's see those bus captains again. Let's see those hands. Now, hold them up there. Keep them up there just a minute. Keep them up.
Amen.
I want to bow to you, bus captains. God bless you. God bless you. I'm serious about it. I'm serious. You say, well, Brother Beebe, you're preaching. You preach all over the nation. Yeah, listen. It's not me. I said, oh yeah, we had 1,200 people ride our 14 bus routes to Sunday school in Ruskin. 1,200 of them Christmas Sunday. Not because of me. They didn't even know I was going to be there. All they knew was somebody came by and talked to them and asked them if they wouldn't come and won the confidence of those parents, and they rode that bus to Sunday school. I bow to you, bus captains, because of that. Because I want to be in heaven when you come in. I want to be able to say, Jesus, I'd like to give out the rewards to these folks. Those are the folks that made the bus ministry, not me. Those are the ones. Those people took their Saturdays and knocked on doors all day long when they could have been enjoying their hobbies or something else. He said, well, I'm working on a swing shift. And I know. I've had folks work on swing shifts before that didn't even get there on Sunday. But by the way, that's why you need to have an arch board with your thing all up to date so that somebody can take your arch board and go ahead and pick up all those kids and without anybody being lost. All right, bus captains. What kind of weird, strange creatures are bus captains? You say, Brother Beebe, I couldn't be a bus captain. I know what they got. They've got to be the super salesman type. They've got to be just a born super salesman. They've just got to jump out of bed in the morning and say, good morning, world, here I am. Aren't you excited? Not necessarily. Now, in Ruskin, one of my secretaries buzzed me on the intercom, said, Brother Beebe, said, Mrs. Deeks is here to see you. I said, who's Mrs. Deeks? I said, I don't know, but she's here. I said, send her in. The door opened, I heard a whirring noise. It was an electric wheelchair with a cripple lady in it. A cripple lady. And she said, hello, Brother Beebe. She said, I'm Mrs. Edward Deeds from Hallel Baptist Temple in Hallel, Florida. And she said, I'm a bus captain down there, and I just came up to talk buses with you. A cripple in a wheelchair? She said, well, I'd feel sorry for her. So did everybody else. That's why she had a full bus every Sunday. She used her handicap. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. She used her handicap for Jesus.
Yeah.
She said, I don't know if I'm going to beat me. I asked her pastor one day, I said, Brother, does anybody go visiting with Mrs. Deeds?
I said, no problem, baby. Why don't we just turn her on and charge her up and turn her loose?
That's a cowbell. Wait, ring that cowbell until somebody comes out and find out what's ringing the cowbell from the house.
We need new buses is what we need. I mean, these old clunkies that we just...
And Ruskin, my newest bus was a 1960 model Rio. R-E-O. Big square nose on it, looked like a cement mixer. Every time I pass a gravel pit, it pulled left and went up in there.
thought it was a cement mixer. I don't know, 98-pound thumb-sucking introvert was the bus captain on that route. Little guy, 98 pounds. He was so bashful, he wouldn't even look you in the eye when he shook your hand. He said, well, I'm the BB, how are you? I asked him one day, I said, hey, Earl, I said, how many is that old Rio run? How many did you have on that old Rio? He said, Brother Beebe, he said, I don't know. He said, I had 102 on Sunday. It was all sitting down. He said, I guess it's 102 passenger Rio. 102? 102? And he's an introvert? Yeah, he was an introvert. Hardly couldn't speak to anybody. But he kept knocking on doors. He just kept knocking on doors, and said, would you let your people come? In fact, you know, sometimes those people make the best sales. People feel sorry for it. Everybody's under the way I go. By the way, ladies, you make terrific bus captains. Ladies make wonderful bus captains. One of my best bus captains was Linda Sweat in Ruskin, Florida. Linda. She's just terrific. Linda is a 250 club bus captain. And Linda was... she lived way out in the country. I mean, she used to live 7 miles on the other side of Wymama. And you'd go out there and find a little single road, and then when the road ended, you'd look for a place where you could take the fence down and go into where she lived. And I went ahead and, she works for me, and she was late. She was 45 minutes late to work, and I said, Linda, I said, what were you late for? Said, Brother Beebe, said, you know this fog we had this morning? I said, yep. Said, I couldn't find the hole in the fence. but anyway, she went out in the country, and but bless her great gal. She got up to testify one day, and she said, Brother Beebe, I thank the Lord for saving me. She said, I always wanted to be a missionary, but I didn't know how to do it. And she said, now I found some way that I can go ahead and win as many people as the preacher. I could go ahead and get be a bus captain and win as many folks as the preacher. And she does. Well, 124, 140, 150 people every year down the aisle just because of her one bus route. Well, I don't have to worry about talking to you folks about being too old. I'm the oldest one here tonight. Except maybe the preacher. Only his hairdresser knows. I had all kinds. I had folks who couldn't read or write, were great bus captains. I've had folks who were like Dr. Dennis Streeter, Chicago physician. And he ran in every week, knocking on doors, one night of soul winning, three hours of visitation at least every Saturday. Last I heard, he put 40 kids through Hammond Baptist High School. 40 of his bus kids went through Hammond Baptist High School, his money. I don't mind going to a doctor like that. You know, that's okay. Dr. Streeter, fine young Christian surgeon. His driver is his brother, Dr. Cal Streeter, his partner in medicine. You know what that makes? A paradox. We're a paradox. Weird, man. That's weird. One of my other bus captains was Frank Crawl. You say, who's Frank Crawl? Nobody. He's just the vice president of Hilton Hotels International. All of them. He just recently moved to Hollywood, California. He said, Brother Beebe, he said, I'm living in Beverly Hills out here. He said, I'm going to get the Beverly Hillbilly bus running out here. He will, brother. He will. What a lovely Christian. He'd go ahead and get him just to Sunday school. Now, you said, well, Brother Beebe, what do you mean? You mean, what kind of strange creatures are bus captains? They're just exactly like you. Like just any kind. Any kind. Somebody that's willing. Let me quickly now. I've got just three more points. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, I want to talk to you about who do you need on a bus route. You need a driver. That's number one. Number two, you need a captain. Now, the captain doesn't have to be the driver. That is, you may have somebody who doesn't want to do any talking, but he wants to go ahead and get involved with the thing. Okay, let him go ahead and drive the bus. And you, especially like you ladies, you'd like to go ahead and take a bus route, okay? Then you let the man drive the bus, and you go ahead and run up the door, knock on the door, get the folks out in the morning and things like that. By the way, somebody ought to go every door. And the first time, let the bus captain go. The second time, you let one of the teenagers, somebody that rides the bus, run up the door, get a teenage worker to do that. All right, now, what does the captain do on the bus route? Here's what they do. Number one, they make sure there's a driver. Okay, number two, visits the bus route every week. Number three, has aggressive promotions on the bus. Now, don't run in the ground, but But do have some promotions. Have some interesting things going on. March to Sunday school in March, but do something about it. And fruitful February, and April something or other, whatever. If you take a look at the calendar, you'll find a lot of things that you can do. Have a little contest on the bus route. We have the Is Your Heart In It for February, and have a big Valentine's Day thing, and push about that. And the world's, now, he was asking me about the world's largest popsicle. World's largest popsicle. Had that one time. I don't know if you even have ice houses over here. I haven't seen them, but a lot of things I haven't seen over here. But anyway, we went to an ice house. We said we want to buy one of the whole thing, 300 pounds of ice, but I want to buy it before you freeze it. He said, okay, it'd be $12. $12. And said, what in the world do you want to do with it? I said, I want to make a popsicle. He didn't believe me. I did. I took 70 packs of pre-sweetened Kool-Aid and stirred it into that thing orange. And stirred that thing up there, and I got someone to cut me a board with a rounded edge on the top, make it look like a popsicle stick. And it was a 1x10-inch board. I stuck that right in the middle of that thing, froze that thing, and I had the world's largest popsicle, weighed 300 pounds. And I said, the kid that brought the most visitors that Sunday got that popsicle. If you don't think that was fun, watching that thing go home with, and those kids here, this kid with his 300-pound popsicle, what are they going to do with it, you know? You might want to go ahead and chip some off for everybody. Get everybody a little paper cup, and you get the world's largest popsicle. You might want to go ahead and let the bus that gets the most kids on the bus, or the most new ones that Sunday, and get the world's largest popsicle. You got to figure it out how you're going to do it. Okay, number four, you want to keep order on the bus and in the church. On the bus and in the church. Bus captain, make sure about that. Number three, you need a secretary on the bus, and someone can act as a secretary and other things as small as your buses are. All right, now, let's talk about visitation and the bus route. This is number 10, only got 11 points. Number 10, visit the bus route. Now, who do you visit? You visit everybody every week. Not the absentees. You visit everybody every week and give them just a little bit of a howdy, just to talk to them just a little bit. Howdy, how are you doing today, and so forth. And I'll give you a sample call of that in just a minute. All right, so you visit everybody every week who ever promised you they'd come. Now, how long should you visit? A minimum of 3 hours a week at it. A minimum of 3 hours a week. I mean, 5 would be better. 7 would be a lot better. I mean, knock on doors. Knock on doors. You can fill a 50, 60-passenger bus. You can fill it. You say, well, I only got a van. All right, fill it up about 3 times every Sunday. Yeah, I mean, fill it up about 3 times every Sunday, so you got to make 3 runs. No problem about that. That'd be super. Okay, now, then when's the best time to visit? Saturday's the best time because they don't forget. And you can go ahead and line them up. But it's not the only time. Okay, what do you say at the door? Here's what you say at the door. How do you have Mr. Beebe from the First Baptist Church? We run Sunday school bus. You're here, and one of you folks stand anywhere regularly. Now, you want to nod your head. That's right. You want to nod your head? Yes, because you want a yes answer out of her in just a little bit. And I'll show you more about that in a minute. Now, suppose she says, well, I go to so-and-so, and it's a fundamental church. There aren't very many of them around, but you might run into somebody that did. Okay, I go to so-and-so. Don't bother them anymore. Leave them alone. Just leave them alone. And there are plenty of folks who don't go to fundamental churches, and you can go ahead and find them. All right, knock on the next door. How do you do, Mr. Beebe from the First Baptist Church? We run Sunday school bus through here. One or two folks stand anywhere right. Well, we go to the First Episcopal Church or something else. Maybe it's a liberal church. Okay? Then say, well, look, we have services on Sunday night. We'd love you to come on Sunday night. Run your buses on Sunday night. Run your buses on Sunday night. Fill it up on Sunday night. How'd you like to have about 150 on Sunday night?
Amen.
Would you like that? Huh? Would you like that, Ruth? Huh? That'd be great. Okay. Now, get them. And on Sunday night. Now, the next thing you want to do is go next door. And here's a little kid next door here. Okay. It's awful weird around here. And you want to go next door. And if there's another little child next door. If you can't get this one to come next door. And then the one next door, you say, hey, Johnny, first Sunday he comes, I want to give you a contest. Next Sunday, if you bring somebody, have to bring 2 visitors on the bus, I'm going to give you a brand new Testament. How about that, huh?
Who could I bring?
How about Episcopalian Susie next door there? And Episcopalian Susie will come for neighbor Johnny where it wouldn't come for pastor. See? Okay? Now, I'll just go on with that. Now, so saying those things at the door. Now, let's talk about something else. A time for just a minute. Time. I was visiting, I started four bus ministries in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Anybody here from North Carolina? There you go. Great. Good. Okay. And I started four of them in Winston-Salem. But some of them were not doing too well. Some of the bus routes were not doing too well. And so I wanted to find out what they were doing wrong out on that bus route. So I'm visiting with them to find out what they were doing wrong. And time, you want to make one to 3 minute calls for your regulars. I mean, just 1 to 3 minutes. Just go up the door and, hi, how you doing, so forth and so on. I'll show you about that in just a minute. But just 1 to 3 minutes. 1 to 3 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes for new ones. 5 to 10 minutes for new ones. 1 to 3 minutes for a regular call. Just a real quick call. Now, I went visiting with this one guy. He was running about 19 on a bus route. Should have been running 50. I mean, every Sunday. Should have been running 50. I went visiting with him. Now, you want to walk as fast as you can? You want to talk as fast as you can? Be understood. And so, I watched him. See what he was doing wrong. Here's the way he went to the door. He went to the door like a lurch, man. Here's the way not to the door. From inside, we heard a voice say, come on in.
So we come on in.
Got in there and saw an old man sitting there in a rocking chair, rocking. And he was staring at the ceiling and chewing tobacco. And spitting in a can. And all over the floor. The old man said, sit you down a spell. So we sit down a spell. I thought he was going to spit on me. Directly the bus captain said, it don't look like the tobacco crops are doing much this year. And the old man said, nope, it ain't. For 30 minutes, that bus captain talked to that old man about everything under the sun but the bus route. They talked to him about the dogs. They talked to him about the hogs. When he got to the frogs, I got hopping mad. Directly he said, are you going to send the kids in the morning? And the old man said, always do, don't I? Always do? Why, that old man's kids were more faithful than the bus captain. I don't want to waste any time on him. Why, that old reprobate, 1 to 3 minutes for him, that's all. Leave him alone. That's why he never built a bus route. He was only waiting for that old man to spit. Now, you want to move as quick as you can. Talk as quick as you can. By the way, be positive. I started nodding my head yes, you know. I got a call from Atlanta the other day. Pastor called me and said, Brother Beebe, said, my son is 16 years old, 17 years old. He has a bus route, 46-passenger bus. And he said, last Sunday he had 103 on it. And he said, Sunday before he had 97. He said, he's heard you give the bus lecture 3 times at Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur. And he said, he does it just like you said. He nods his head just like you said. He bugs his eyes, the whole thing, just like you said. And he said, last week, he knocked on the door, talked to this. He said, funniest thing happened Saturday. He was talking to this lady. And he said, ma'am, we'd love to have your kids ride the bus with us. Would you let your kids ride the bus with us? Would you let your kids ride the bus with us? And she said, yes, I'd be glad to let my kids ride the bus with us. She said, what am I saying? I don't have any kids. Be positive. Here's a regular call. Here's what you say. Hi there, Miss Jones. Jones, how you doing today? Boy, I'm sure glad to see you today. And listen, we had a wonderful time on the boat. It was just terrific. Just terrific. How about you and the two little ones coming this Sunday, huh? How about you and the two little ones coming? Don't point your head down, though. I had to tell you, Rick, about that. How about y'all coming, huh? Come on. Okay, good.
Hey, where was Henry?
Now, I checked my arch board and I found that Henry wasn't there. Where was Henry? And she's thinking to herself, Henry? You mean he missed Henry? His own daddy doesn't even miss him. How come he missed him?
So I'm going to send him with that man who loves Henry.
And so I'm going to get him out of that bed.
Good, good. Okay, all right. Listen, I'll look for you in the morning then. Okay, bye-bye.
And that's it. Just hide it with him for just a minute. Now, don't say this. Don't say, here's a regular that comes every Sunday. Don't say, are you thinking about coming this week?
We already coming.
They're going to think about not coming. If you come again. Why is he thinking about me not coming? Don't do that. Just talk real positive. Just say, we'll be looking for you this week. We'll look for you. I'll be glad to see you in the morning. Okay, bye-bye. Look for you this week. And that's all. So you just keep right on. Now, here's a new call. Just a little bit different. Number one, you want to build security with a new call. You want to realize it to be perfectly safe. And you have a very real advantage here because when you are working with military folks there in a foreign country, a strange land. By the way, it's interesting to read what the Bible says about what you're supposed to do about strangers if you are Jewish, because you're supposed to treat them right because of the fact that they were strangers in a foreign land one day. And that's a good thing for us to be thinking about too. And you'll find a great rapport, as you already know, there's a rapport among service folks and families. But build security. Number two, relate to that family. Start talking to them about something they know about. And that'll be easy to do with the service folks that are here. Number three, close the deal. Here's how you do it. Hi there. How are you? I'm Mr. Beebe from the First Baptist Church, and we run a Sunday school bus through here. I'll say Grace Baptist Church, and we run a Sunday school bus through here and wondered if you folks attend anywhere regularly.
No, we don't.
Wonderful! You're just the folks I've been looking for. Now, ma'am, here's what we do. First of all, now, I'm going to give her a little spiel. And I've practiced this spiel. I've talked to hundreds and thousands of people at the door, and I've practiced it. I know what I'm going to say. I want to shape the conversation to go my way. I'm going to ask her questions when I want the questions answered. Now, watch what I say, because I'm going to try to answer every objection as I go on. Wonderful! You're just the folks I've been looking for. Now, this is what we do. First of all, we come right here to the door, and I'll come up and get the children, first time, when I'm 17, age runner, second time. And I'll come up and get the children and bring them to my bus. Now, when I talk to them about their children, I cup my hands because that gives a mental image of security. I'm protecting them. See? I'll come up and get the children and put them on the bus and take them to Sunday school and introduce them to their Sunday school teacher so they wouldn't get lost or anything like that. Take them right to the class, and then just as soon as Sunday school and church is over, I'll bring them right back here to your door and put them right here. Hey, by the way, where are you folks from? And before she has a chance to answer, go on to something else. She's thinking about it. You've told her about what's going on. By the way, where are you folks from? Well, I'm from... Now, when I say three, I want you to all tell me the state where you're from. Would you do that? One, three. One, two, three. That's where I'm from. That's wonderful. Good. Okay. Now, that was really wild. Okay, but now, look. Here's the way I'm going to relate to the family. Where are you from?
We're from Kentucky.
Kentucky! You don't mean it! I know right where that is! Well, I've eaten so much of Kentucky Fried Chicken, I practice flying where I go. How about that? Now, it just depends on where they're from. But honestly, that's just what you do. You just start relating. You know somebody from Kentucky, you're in a service with somebody from Kentucky, or you've been through that time. Oh, where was it? Let's see. You folks from Flint? Very strange things are happening here. I only got three more minutes, son. You were from Flint, and now we got to talking about something. Oh, I know. It was Brother Meadows, wasn't it? and the Flushing Baptist Church. Okay, it just happens. I know a few people here and there, and so I knew their former pastor just like that, and so forth. Now, really and truly, it makes me feel like I know that guy. You know what I mean? And you probably feel like, hey, he knows my preacher and so forth and all that, knows just where I'm from. And there's a little rapport about it, see? And that's what you want to do. Now.
Yes, sir.
I've got to wait until the brown shows. From the white so far. There it goes. Amen. Okay. Now. Well, I don't know where that's from. Good, good. Now, how many children do you have? Whatever she says, it's wonderful. You just pick it, get out your pen, start writing notes. I usually take a little notebook with me and write all this information down when I get to the door. And now, how many children do you have? Whatever she says, it's wonderful. How many children do you have?
About 15.
Wonderful! You believe the Bible replenished the earth, okay? Now, well, we only got one.
Wonderful. Controlling the population explosion. Yes, sir. Amen. Somebody's got to do that.
All right, now, what are their names and ages? Well, there's Johnny, and he's 9 years old. Wonderful. Hey, I got a little Johnny that rides the bus with me, and he's 9 years old. Isn't that a coincidence? Now, who else do you have?
Well, there's Marie, and she's 14.
Hey, I've got a 14-year-old daughter, too. And she rides the bus with me and helps me with the kids. Her name is Melissa. Hey, and her second name is Marie. Melissa Marie. Hey, when was yours born?
Well, born so.
Okay, fine. Good. Now, see, you've either got a child or know of a child that looks like, smells like, acts like, same name as, same age as, something similar. Or maybe your sister or your brother or somebody else. But see, that's what you've got to do. You've got to be rapport with these folks. Okay, now, here's the way you wind up. Now, I want to thank you for talking to me this afternoon. And let me just say, you're starting on your head. And let me just say that we appreciate so much taking these kids to Sunday school. And if you just let them come, we would really appreciate and consider it a real honor if you'd allow them to come just one time. So just get them to come one time. And then you go get them the second time. And then you go get them the third time, see. But just get them to come one time. And they're thinking, no continuing obligation. Right, right, just one time. Because the name of the game is we must expose to the gospel and tell people they're lost and they need to be saved. All right, now, very quickly, I close. The last point is goals, set goals. I ask you to do this. Go ahead, don't come back unless you line up 10, 15 new ones every single week. I mean 10, 15 new ones every week that were not there the week before. And then just keep building on that, building on that, building on that. And just keep going. You say, well, are you going to get them all? Of course not. But I will tell you this. I went visiting with one fellow in Ruskin. Remember, only 2,000 people in Ruskin. I went visiting with him, and he was running 20 on the bus route. I visited with him for 3 hours. At the end of 3 hours, I had the names and addresses of 100 new ones that promised me they'd ride that bus. I say, okay, smart. How many of them came? To tell you the truth, I don't know. There were 91 on the 60-passenger bus and 3 carloads behind the bus that couldn't get on the bus. And I'll take that for 100 promises any old day. All right, now, many times I've lined up and had 30 new ones ride the bus on one route. Many times, 30 new ones on one route. Now, I mean, see it big for souls. Keep it simple. Get goals. Set goals. You say, well, why should you set goals? Ye have not because ye ask not. I told Brother Truel down there, if he didn't have 200 in Sunday school for Easter, that he ought to be shot at sunrise. And you know what you ought to be? You ought to take away your smell endless. That's worse than shooting him. Now, seriously, have you set a goal for Easter Sunday? That's what I thought. Have you set your goal for Easter Sunday? What is it?
150.
Okay, and you had 140 last Sunday. No, how many did you have last Sunday?
Almost 100.
All right, 150. 150. You think 150 would be a good goal for you?
I think 200
would be better. 200 would be better. All right, you think you're going to get 200, Jane? Huh? You're going to get 200?
Yeah.
Come on now, where's your faith? What do you think? 200? 200?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, Dr. Lee Robertson said about goals, that great guy. Dr. Lee Robertson said, it's better to shoot at something and miss it than shoot at nothing and get it.
That's super, buddy.
Amen. All right, now, thank you for listening to me for 1 hour and a half tonight. And I'm through, but I want to talk about one thing. I want you to set some goals. You bus captains, I want you to set a goal. I want you to set an impossible goal. You ought to have a mission impossible. You ought to have a mission impossible Sunday, impossible Sunday for Easter. Something just couldn't even imagine. And visit. And have something, goals, have something to do. Special things. Now, do your very best. Do your very best. I want to write you all up in the church bus news. It goes all over. I want to go ahead and really see something done. Because listen. What you're doing here could be a pattern for all the service work worldwide. See, if they say, hey, they did it over there in Germany. Hey, they did it down there in Wiesbaden. Hey, they did it over here. Good. Praise the Lord. Then somebody else can challenge you to do it someplace else.
Amen.
Okay? Right. The eyes of Texas are upon you. The eyes of Georgia, too. And Florida. And all. All right, now, one more thing. I preach to Christians, of course, tonight. And I thank you for being so patient. I thank you for some of you who are visitors tonight who have been so patient to listen to me. And I enjoy giving my bus lecture. But let me say this. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He loves you very much. On the cross, He suffered for every bit of your sins. So you wouldn't have to go to hell. You could go to heaven. But you've got to give Him your heart tonight. Give Him your heart. Won't you do that? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Just a moment for prayer now.